Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
On first down, he goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 78 yards.
All right, let's assess Cowboys coaching stock after the divisional round. Good morning, Metroplex. Thanks for joining us this Martin Luther King and Inauguration Monday here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. We got Pepe and Carter in the back. And thanks to everyone checking us out on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Cowboys are still without a head coach. I saw the Dallas Morning News speculate this could take place till mid-February.
Oh my God! Please, please. So
we're gonna be doing Super Bowl shows,
and then you gotta get ready for the combine. Combine is end of February,
which we're going to.
We are.
Yeah, we are.
So what is the Super Bowl is February 9th. So does that mean that what? Like they're not gonna do anything until after the Super Bowl. They want to get everybody clear, or is that why it could go on? Is because they want to hire Kellen, and Kellen might be calling games until then.
Well, also, you know, even if they won't like. Isn't there a rule like once the conference championship games are over, you can't make any news or that like the week of the Super Bowl?
There's not like a rule. It's an
gentleman's agreement,
They kind of blow off routinely.
Yes. I mean, I worked today, number one, because I think the bosses violated Odyssey policy and didn't give us a choice.
Yep.
But number two, I was like, oh, maybe there's a Cowboy coaching hire. It's going to happen right when I go to Mexico mid-February. It's going to screw me over, and your dad's funeral, all that stuff tied together.
I don't know how we're both going to be off at the same time, Sean. I don't know how they're going to handle it.
Peyton gets to host. Peyton gets to co-host with me.
KNC do it all the time.
I might cancel my trip just to avoid that happening.
Imagine Alec, Peyton having to run the board for Alec. Alec would be able to dunk on him then.
All right. Let's assess all the coordinator possibilities after their games this weekend. Let's start off with Kellen Moore. Can you judge him at all with the snow? 205 and two touchdowns. Is the only way you could really judge Kellen Moore is if he was dumb enough to throw the ball nonstop with a hurt Jalen Hurts? Can you even judge Kellen Moore whatsoever?
It's tough. Look, I mean, I think that you actually could judge him in a positive way. I mean, he was smart enough to know. He's smart enough to know like where his bread is buttered with this team. This team is a supremely talented football team. And they have a running back that is, I mean, he's the most efficient running back in the league right now. Him and Henry. So, obviously lean on that. If he didn't lean on that, I think then you could be like, all right, what the hell are we doing here, man? Like, because, you know, we think of Kellen as this, you know, as the guy likes to throw. Like, truthfully, like, he is at his best when he can run the ball effectively.
Yeah, I think that he, and we'll get into some of this with Kellen a little bit later. But I think that it's really difficult to take anything from it because like when we read that tweet earlier from Quincy Avery, once it turns into a snow game, it's just like it changes the complexion of what the game is supposed to be. And you're just kind of trying to survive it and get by. And so, I don't know that there's much you can glean from it because a lot of it just turned into, all right, let's try to just run the ball and get this game over with.
Warren Sharp was destroying Kellen Moore at halftime, the analytics guy, saying Eagles have 25 net passing yards on 16 dropbacks, 66 passing yards, 41 yards lost on sacks. That's 1.6 net yards per pass. They have 171 rushing yards on 17 rushes, 10.1 per, and he was basically calling the Eagles coaching staff idiots. He was coming out harsh.
I think, what is it? Is it, I don't know what the connection is to Baltimore, that he'd be so aggressively going after Kellen Moore in defense of his Baltimore Ravens, who he secretly does consultation for that he doesn't publicly disclose. So that was, I can't figure out what that would be. Kellen Moore must have made Baltimore mad at some point.
Because those numbers you read off, it was like, just keep running it.
Yeah, I can't judge him off that. Again, I could only judge him negatively if he was not handing the ball off.
Right.
and Saquon was breaking off 60-yard runs.
It's an incomplete grade to me. Like, I don't think you can take anything from it.
All right. Let's take it to Washington and Detroit for three different people.
Snap to Daniels. Quick throw to the opposite side. Terry McLaurin got through two defenders. 50, 40 by 40. 30 by 30. Foot race at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Stays on his feet. Touchdown. Touchdown, Washington. Unreal.
Are you kidding me?
McLaurin.
Oh, my God.
Commanders Radio with the call. Would you like to start with Cliff, Ben, or Glenn?
Well, let's start with Cliff. I don't think this does anything for Cliff for me.
For the Cowboys.
For Cliff, period. Like, this is about Jaden Daniels. Like, that's what this is about.
You give no credit to whoever's fostering that?
I generally give the credit to the player.
So, like, Jaden Daniels, though, he goes anywhere, he plays the exact same?
Yeah. I think if Patrick Mahomes had gone anywhere, he's Patrick Mahomes. If a lot, all these guys. If you're great, you're great.
The only counter...
It's the good guy. I think quarterbacks can take a good guy to make him, like, great. If you're going to be great, you're going
to
be great.
The only counter... Well, there could be a lot of counters, but the one that immediately comes to mind, because they also played, is Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady. It seems like the Buffalo Bills offense jumped back up with Joe Brady at the controls versus Ken Dorsey. I feel good in saying, while losing Stephon Diggs, the Bills don't do this offensively with Dorsey upstairs versus Brady. That seems to be a big coordinator difference. That's my opinion. But go ahead, back to Cliff.
So, I mean, I think Cliff is, you saw during the year too, they lost three straight in the second half. That's kind of a Cliff staple where he falls off in the second half of the year. And then, you know, their schedule, you know, lightened up a little bit. They went back and they started winning games. The Eagles game, they put up a ton of points. How much of that, though, was... Obviously, they didn't put up the points because of Jalen Hurts' concussion that he got in the first quarter. But it certainly helps when the other team can't move the ball and the other defense gets tired.
The reports are Kingsbury has requests from the Bears and the Saints, has not interviewed for any head coaching job. Meanwhile, Joe Witt Jr. will interview for the Jets' head coaching job this morning. What do you think this did for Cliff and maybe possibly Cliff here?
No, I think it actually does a lot for Cliff because, like, I mean, I think it's the counter is that when you say we've seen drop-offs, that's the thing. We typically have seen drop-offs, and what we've seen is over the last seven games, they're undefeated and they're averaging 32 points a game in Washington.
I'm saying is I just give the credit to the quarterback.
And I think schematically they've done a lot of different. They had them spinning. Detroit had no idea how to counteract anything. This wasn't just execution. It wasn't pure execution. They had a lot of easy, wide open throws. They had wide running lanes to get things done. I think Cliff did a really good job of just kind of cementing, look, I can stand toe-to-toe with the other top candidates, and I can be better than them. And I think that's a big thing for him.
Let's take it to who Cliff did this against with Aaron Glenn, who Jordan Schultz says the Cowboys could be interested in with some Texas ties. Dan Quinn last year gave up 48 to the Packers. Glenn gets absolutely lit up, giving up 481 yards and 6.6 a play. Does this do anything? Should this do anything to Aaron Glenn? Or no, because of 16 guys on IR, including Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, six starters on defense. I don't think this does anything negative for Aaron Glenn. I mean, they had outside of the Minnesota game, right? And that was more Sam Darnold than anything. This defense has been getting kind of worked over the last month-ish of the season. So I'm not going to put this on Aaron Glenn. I mean, the defense... You know, it's disappointing. You know, when your offense, look, your offense is going to be out of sync sometimes in the playoffs. And it was. The defense has got to step up. That's when the defense steps up and helps. They couldn't, not because I don't believe anything because of Aaron Glenn. I think because they were just overmatched. They had so many injuries.
This is not good for Aaron Glenn. Not just this one game. I think it's the last two playoff runs. So if you look at the last 2 years as defensive coordinator in Detroit, the regular season, those 34 games that they've played, on average, Detroit gives up 339 yards on defense, and they allow 21 points per game. He has, in four playoff games with Detroit, never given up less than 23 points. He averages giving up 31. He's never given up less than 408 yards, which is 80 over what they typically average, and they average giving up 432 a game in the playoffs. That's four playoff games where he gets rocked. And so... There is a question over a four-game sample last year's that says your defenses are not playing the same way that they play during the regular season, and it's not just by a little margin. It's a significant margin where your very best performance is significantly above your season averages. And I think that there's at least just a question there of just, all right, how much are you actually getting out of these guys when big moments come along? Because if there's a constant criticism that exists with Kellen Moore, and it's a fair one of just, the offenses haven't been the same when we've gotten to the postseason. Like, for all you do in the regular season, it's not the same. Aaron Glenn's defenses have not been the same when they get to the postseason.
Is that not a little normal with
better teams?
You get better teams. Like your batting average in baseball theoretically should drop in the playoffs.
Right.
It's normal to have something that goes up. It's not normal for the very best performance you have can't even meet your season average, especially over four games.
I get it.
And especially when we're talking about 339. I don't know. Their scoring defense is pretty good because they take the ball away a lot. 339 yards per game over the last two seasons is 20th in the NFL. So we're talking about their 80 yards worse than being the 20th best yards defense in the NFL over the last 2 years.
Do we not overreact, though, to this? Like, if you have a body of work, this is the Rick Bonus thing. If you were going to get rid of Rick Bonus before when he was the interim after Monty left, if you were going to get rid of Rick Bonus before the playoff run, are you really going to let a playoff run impact you?
Okay.
And the same thing here. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I understand. I understand we overreact to the biggest things. But if Aaron Glenn was the guy for you all year, or Dan Quinn was the guy for you all year last year, are you really going to let a single 60 minutes going to impact that?
Sure. Last 4 years, here's where Detroit's defense is ranked in. Let's go passing yards the last 4 years. 24th, 30th, 27th, 30th. This is where they've ranked in total yards. 29th, 32nd, 19th, 20th. This is where they've ranked in points. This year they were better. They took the ball away a lot. But this is where they've ranked in points. 31st, 28th, 23rd, 7th.
Ugh.
His resume, it's not like, when we talk about the whole body work, it's not like the super impressive four-year dominant run.
It seems like more as the man versus the coordinator, where Johnson, all the credit is for the coordinator, and we don't know a ton about the man.
Yeah. I mean, that's the exact, it's the exact kind of question we're asking here in Dallas right now. Just, do you want the X's and O's guys or do you want the leadership guy?
All right, now let's get to Ben Johnson. 31 points scored, trick plays that worked except for the Jameson Williams pass, and a total yardage of 5-2-1. Does this do anything for Ben Johnson?
I don't know that it, I don't think it helps. I mean, scored 31 points with 5 turnovers is impressive.
Yeah.
That's really impressive. They were the best offense all year, or one of them. And they were one of the best offenses last year, too. Like, they're just a really good team. I think, it's the same thing with Aaron Glenn. If you thought he was the guy before, this performance isn't going to hurt you.
All 3 years as offensive coordinator in Detroit, they have been top 5 in points and yards. All 3 years. And so he's at the top of the league. He's clearly shown himself to be a really effective play caller. I think the questions you have about him aren't going to be answered in these playoff moments. I think the questions are going to be answered by, like you mentioned, what is the personality type? What are the leadership traits? That's the bigger thing with Ben Johnson.
And then my two leftovers, we are getting your Cowboys stock report on the divisional round coaches, Joe Brady, Todd Monken, Buffalo, Baltimore.
Man, Brady, that play design, the series of plays at the inside the 5 and the final drive before they kicked the field goal. There were a lot of people on social media killing that. Just the third down. I didn't get the third down, the run with Allen.
That they didn't tush push it. They went shotgun.
Yeah, they went shotgun. So that, but again, I mean, I would not want Todd Monken. Todd Monken is a 60-year-old that's had one head coaching job in his entire career. It was 3 years at Southern Miss. No one else has ever thought of him as a head coach. It's very hard to go like and win national championships at Georgia or Alabama and not get a head coaching opportunity.
I don't think it hurt either of them. I thought the coordinators were fine yesterday, like in the Baltimore Buffalo game. Nothing stood out to me as just like, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? So I don't know if it helps them, but I definitely don't think that there was anything in there that you could ding and say, oh, this was a really bad performance from them.
All right, so that is around the rest of the National Football League on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Bobby Belt he made his research project, Kellen Moore, over the weekend. That is coming up at 8:40, but let's talk Mavs, Stars. Do the Dodgers continue to cheat, and is TikTok back or not? Next on 105.3 The Fan. Happy Monday, y'all. Thank you for being a total. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. Sean, RJ, and Bobby with you on DFW Sports Station. And are you going to be having the inauguration on for the rest of the day? We have it on one of the televisions. I think I just got hooked here to the coverage as President Biden and his wife are walking out. I saw Kamala get out of the black SUV. And, of course, it will be the inauguration of Donald Trump once again. Do we know who's performing today? Who's going to be out there?
I know Carrie Underwood's performing.
I think Parker McCollum. I think I saw up there on the screen that they're up there. I don't know if this would have been last night or over the weekend or if it's today, but Nelly is supposed to perform or has performed in some capacity.
Yeah, they had something last. I don't know what last night was in compared to this. I know it was he had a rally of some kind, but I don't know who performed.
Are you going to be glued to it today?
Yeah, I'll watch. I mean, I've been to a couple of these.
Whoa. Yes. Whoa, what a flex.
Yes. Oh, they're great. They're fantastic.
What's it like? And who'd you go for?
I went in for Clinton and Bush, 96 and 2000.
And the 96. You went to D.C. specifically for it?
Yeah, 96 was our senior class trip. Like, they took all the seniors down for that. And then in 2000, me and my college buddies who were in some poli-sci class took the trip up. We were going to go. We made the decision to go, and then before the election, we made the decision to go up.
So how does it work? Where do you park? How do you gain access? Where do you end up standing?
Well, we just parked at the hotel, and then we took the train. Whatever train that is, that's got the super long escalator that goes. You know what I'm talking about? You don't know what I'm talking about. And, you know, you get out, you find a spot, and we were able to. So in college, my roommate's mother, she worked for the governor, and they got us like in a cool section, like kind of in the front. And in high school, we went. I mean, it was just we stood a mile and a half away. We were so far away in high school.
How did it compare to the Jan 6 crowds?
Well, I don't know, but you can ask Insurrection that one. She might have an idea.
Oh my God, what is it like with the choppy female setup today? Is it like the super like you got a Velveeta dip? You got how are they setting up?
I don't know. I'm not going to go on over there.
I wish y'all could do a live stream like Portnoy, like really a Barstool should. Live stream on the choppy couch.
I really should.
I would pay. I would pay.
I really should. They're going to cheer. They're going to applaud. Oh, he's so great. What a wonderful man.
Stand up.
They probably have like red, white, and blue like paraphernalia in the house.
Do you think
like streamers?
Freedom fries, not French fries.
Right.
Will they be all in on it today?
Oh my God. They've been waiting for this day. They've been waiting for this day for 4 years. They've been waiting forever. So yeah, they are all in. I don't know how they're gonna I don't know what channel they're going to watch it on. I can assure you I know which one is not going to be on. But I don't know the other options that they're going to.
Does it start with an M or a C?
That won't be on? Both. Both.
Yeah. Bob, interest?
I'm not going to watch a second of it.
What?
I've not watched a second of an inauguration in my life. I don't care.
This one's going to be weird because it's inside.
Well, and it's like, this is also like done already like 8 years ago. So like, I mean, like to me, especially whenever it's a fall, but somebody doing their second one, I'm always like, what is, I don't care about the inauguration. I don't. I never have.
Pepe.
I will. But I mean, I'm not going to miss my nap over it. I'll still take my nap around 1 o'clock. So I'll catch the highlights on Twitter or something.
Yeah, I'll keep it on. I'll keep it on the background all day long. I'm interested. I like, you know, this is like, you know, what the Brits do with the Queen.
I love it. I love like this day. Like, I love everything about like, you know,
or the prince or whoever, whatever they do.
Anything that has to do with inauguration, like all the pomp and circumstance, the pageantry. Yeah, I love. I mean, when you know, the Carter funeral. I was not even alive when Carter was in office. I mean, I think I was for like 4 months,
a couple weeks. Yeah.
But I mean, I consumed hours of the funeral as much as I could. Like, I love that pomp and circumstance stuff. Plus, I had to prepare myself for my dad's funeral.
That's right. After a tough Saturday in Colorado, the Stars get back in the win column. Nice bounce back against one of the hottest teams in the league. They beat the Red Wings 4-1. Red Wings have not won in Dallas since the 2015-16 season. Otter, another strong performance. He has now allowed two or less goals in 7 of the last 8 games. Detroit, one of the top power plays in the NHL. In their previous 11, they had scored 18 goals, but then the Stars' penalty kill came up big. Red Wings 0-for-3 with the man advantage. It was a 3-1 first period lead and never looked back. Robo continues to be hot. Wyatt Johnston, Gavin Spittle all over the coverage with spits and suds. And then, Bobby, you are all over the Dallas Mavericks owning the Oklahoma City Thunder and stopping the 3-game losing streak.
Look, they won again, and I know there's no SGA, but that doesn't matter. We've already taken these fools out once in the playoffs, and now this is twice this year. We've handed them two of their losses. The one game we did lose happened to be the one that Luka played in. Is that going to be a Mike Bacsik topic? Are we going to hear about that a little bit? But after the game the other day, Kyrie Irving got a little bit, I don't know, was feeling himself a little bit. As we've heard before, they get a little defensive when they talk about how the Kyrie trade was viewed. You remember last year, somebody mentioned that it got like a D grade from CBS Sports, and Luka and Kyrie were just kind of scoffing at it a little bit. And Kyrie loves to remind people how that trade was viewed. And when he was asked about a PJ Washington trade, and he just happened to include himself into the discussion.
Is that right, eighth, right? Or is that my trade?
Sixth,
I think I was eighth, right?
Yeah.
So my anniversary is coming up too. Just trading the business, baby.
Who won that trade?
I was going to say.
Who won that trade? I was bad goods.
He was just, and this is the, he has been like still, they were asking about the PJ trade anniversary coming up. And he goes, oh, well, I think mine's coming up too. He goes, won that trade, didn't we? Won that trade. He goes, that was bad goods. And he got a lot of praise too for, I know you had retweeted over the weekend, Sean, when he had all those different Native American individuals that were there at the Mavericks game.
Yes.
And he stood out there, and apparently after the game, hours after, like we're talking past midnight, he stayed in the arena just like talking to each person that was there for the game, and like shook hands and talked to like 1,000 different people.
God, he's so lovable.
It's such a flip.
It's amazing.
It really is a massive transformation.
It's the thing that I don't think I've ever felt more wrong about was this one, because I was certain. I was like, 12 months max, something will go wrong, something will flip on this.
Yes.
And he's just gotten better and better as a personality and a leader here.
All right, Chop, one more President Trump leftover, and I don't even know whether this should be attributed to him or not, but hell, the app did. The TikTok saga over the weekend. Are we alive? Are we dead? What's going on?
Well, we are alive. They have restored service. And now some people are saying the app already feels different. It's different. I have no idea. I don't notice any difference to it.
It's not different.
It's got some kind of more of a partnership, I think, with Facebook than it did before. So they kind of did some, they kind of molded it a little bit differently. But it's back. And it was down for about 12 to 14 hours, about 8 to 9 o'clock on Saturday night.
My wife sent me the saddest text. I wanted to go into the room and give her a hug. As I sent her the notification, TikTok is down, blah, 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 it's canceled. And she sent me back the text saying, yep, I scrolled to the very last second. And I felt so bad. I said, oh my God, I feel so bad for you.
See, and you were mocking me for saving my 27 gig worth of TikToks. Amanda would have appreciated it.
I didn't
it.
Even comment on it.
No, you did. When I brought it up last week, you said, because you're a loser.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. No. Oh, I'm pulling this on you.
I don't remember. That is a loser move.
All right, well, you said it now.
I didn't say it, yeah.
You gave off the energy if you didn't say it.
I don't remember commenting on it.
Yeah, so like on Saturday night, you got this notification. Sorry, TikTok isn't available right now. A law banning TikTok has been enacted in the U.S. That means you can't use TikTok for now. President Trump's indicated that he will work with us on a solution, yada, yada, yada. And then the next day, the next morning, you know, I mean, maybe before some people even woke up, it was back. It was back live. Took a minute. You know, like I was stuck on one account for like an hour.
It was slow kind of repopulating and getting its bearings back about it. But
it's back. It's back for now. Now, it's going to be like a, I think they said a 90-day stay of execution where they can figure out a sale or whatever, but
or for him to just evaluate what things are, you know, for Trump said he wants 90 days basically to evaluate what the situation is and what resolutions there are. But I will say they're playing it the right way. They're playing it the right way with their statements. The one that said sorry we're offline, and then the one that said we come back, they both made sure to just say we're very optimistic about what President Trump has said. And then there was when they came back, they went, we're so grateful to President Trump. They know. You gotta buddy up
Who's buddying up to who? Is Trump buddying up to TikTok or vice versa?
I think vice versa.
Because people are trying to say, President Trump tried to cancel this in 2020. And then it's all publicity stuff, like he's to get the credit for it. These are the theories out there.
Sure. And, you know, like, I have no, I don't remember what it was like in 2020 with the app. I don't remember if there was more.
Yeah, we're all a little busy.
Yeah. So I don't, I have no idea. But right now, I mean, this is a, this is a First Amendment issue at its core, right? It's like a lot of people make money off this. That was the thing to me that was most stunning. And I shouldn't have been stunned because people make their living off of this. But the amount of people that were like, what am I going to do for work now?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's basically they're small businesses that basically run off of it.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. I mean, TikTok
not
shop.
Just individual influencers.
No, like, I mean, you'll get there was a
TikTok shop is huge.
TikTok shop is big. There's companies that have like developed so much of their marketing just through their platform and branding through TikTok and different things like that. Like, I mean, there's a lot of, and then you've got an individual who has become a big influencer who, well, then they've become big enough that they start hiring a team and they become like a small operation. And so that was one of the other things that a lot of, you know, I think Trump and some of the supporters for Trump were pushing back against too, was like, well, this is anti-business. You're, you know, harming people's ability to make money.
Pepe, did you ride this roller coaster at all?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's funny because I was in bed Saturday night and I just, you know, I do things, you know, so, you know, back and forth that like I just randomly had gone to my phone and I clicked TikTok knowing that it was gone. But I do it so many times that like I naturally was just like, oh, let me go to TikTok. And so I was like, oh, crap, I got to find something else to do to bypass the time. But I mean, 12 hours, not a big deal. Mackenzie was heartbroken, though. I mean,
really?
That's her. She's just like, you know, Amanda, Sean. That's what she, you know, dreams of doing is just, you know, being on TikTok all day. And that's what she loves.
Kristen gave me hell for this because she's like, our gender roles are so reversed, like just the standard. She's like, because you're as hung up on this TikTok thing as
I thought you didn't care about TikTok.
No, I'm on TikTok. I just told you I saved 27 gig of TikToks to upload to a Google Drive so I wouldn't lose them. I'm all about TikTok. And so she's like, you're always the one who wants to watch like the murder shows and the Dateline mysteries and you're on TikTok.
Put your app, power rank your apps.
TikTok's one by far.
It's one?
Yeah, it's just an entertainment factor. Yeah, it is. Number one, easy.
Wow.
It's TikTok, Twitter, and then I don't really, Facebook, Instagram, the others, they can just kind of.
Instagram or TikTok are one for me, one of the two, and then the other one's number two.
I'm going Twitter one by far.
Twitter's great for like news and information. Yeah. TikTok is just an entertainment thing. I'd rather be on TikTok.
Nobody just sits and scrolls Twitter.
I do.
But you're looking for news.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking for entertainment. Like, that's, you know.
Or like the Lamar memes, you know.
The Lamar memes. Jokes. We might get to it.
Like, to cover today's inauguration, I have to be on Twitter.
For the inauguration,
just comments and, you know, jokes.
Yeah. I find music, comedians, there's so many different entertainment things I find through TikTok.
TikTok has made it so much easier for comedians, especially. To get out in front. Matt Rife is not Matt Rife. He's not making $200 million this year or whatever it is without TikTok.
All right, Bobby is the only one in here who wants Kellen Moore to be the Cowboys' next head coach. And because of that, he did a little Kellen Moore research project over the weekend. See if this can change your mind. And what I'm hearing about possible candidates that did not make DFW very happy. That's next. And below the belt, 105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Can the leader of your football team be socially awkward? We might be about to find out if that's the case here in Below the Belt. I know that's the perception. The thought has been Kellen Moore, and I think a lot of it develops from quiet. Like in general, you don't hear from him very often. When you see his press conferences, you see, man, looks a little robotic. But even still, people knew Jason Garrett had an edge about him and a way about him because they would see all or nothing, or they would see, you know, those sort of looks at Jason Garrett. You go, oh, he's clearly got a little bit of, you know, an edge to him that he doesn't share with us. Hard Knocks a couple years ago, Kellen Moore seemed about like what you thought Kellen Moore was like, where it was like, you know, a little quieter and some moments where you're like, man, he seems.
I watched some mic'd up Chargers practice with him, and I was getting ready to break out some s'mores. That's how edgy I felt. I was gonna roast some marshmallows with O'Kellen and drink some hot chocolate.
He's got some Boy Scout feel to him,
yeah,
for sure. But they have leadership badges in
What did Michael Lombardi insult him? What did he call him? The paper boy or
the joystick? Right?
The joystick.
The joystick. Which, before we get to the actual aspect of his leadership and his ability to be a leader potentially in the locker room, I will say that asking around to people about the whole little, like, well, he's running the ball now, he threw the ball a ton here in Dallas, the common thought I got was, okay, when you hear people say Kellen just wants to run plays, he doesn't have a vision, he does this or that,
doesn't manage the game,
a big pushback I got was like, that looks like that to people because Kellen's not married to anything other than what's successful. Like, Kellen's going to lean into whatever the personnel says they have, whatever the trends say that they're successful. That's what Kellen's going to do. So somebody goes, oh, it doesn't look like a big philosophy. It's like, well, it's because his philosophy is we're going to move the ball as effectively as we can, however that is. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, just to update, they interviewed Kellen and Saleh already. Supposed to be Leslie Frazier today. There's rumors of Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, even though Schefter says there's no way Ben Johnson is happening here. And Rappaport says there has been no and has been no Deion interview done or scheduled. Very, very weird.
And it may be because they already have their candidate in mind and that they're just trying to get through the process at this point. And Kellen Moore might be that guy. I think he is the odds on favorite. Everybody here, I think we all agree at this point, right? That's the likeliest guy.
That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. It feels like that's where things are heading. So I wanted to find out a little bit about the very fair question that exists about what kind of a leader could he be? Can he command a locker room? Because I don't know that. I think he's a good play caller. I think there are things about him that I would trust as a head coach, but I guess I don't totally know how players would respond to him or how people think he does. So on Thursday and Friday, I had solicited the opinions of six different people who have experience with Kellen Moore. So these are people who have either played with Kellen, they played for Kellen, or they've coached with Kellen.
Oh.
So it's a lot of different variety here and a lot of different perspectives on him. Of the six people that I reached out to, I already knew one of them was pretty strongly pro Kellen Moore. So I anticipated I was going to hear good things on that front. The other ones, I didn't know exactly how they were going to give me feedback on him. But I decided to ask them just some questions about, all right, how does he command a locker room? What kind of a leader can he be? Can he be in control of things? And everyone that I spoke with agreed that they thought he was, they didn't think it was a concern. They don't think it's his strong, some people didn't think it was his strongest trait, that he's, oh man, that's like the top thing that I would highlight with him. But everybody agreed that he's capable of leading a locker room that I spoke with. Now, I'll also say this. It's possible I was talking to the six most pro Kellen Moore people and I didn't know. I mean, I don't know. I could be talking to
you didn't know and talking to them.
One of them I knew in advance,
yeah,
how they felt about him. But the others, I was just reaching out. I had never asked him about Kellen before. So I asked them and got some opinions on Kellen Moore here. One of the things that was pointed out to me, and I had known that he had, this was his education background. I did not know this is why. So he got his degree in communications and he got his master's in kinesiology. And those were both apparently done, and I looked this up after. Those were done, like, specifically because he wanted to be a coach. Like, that's why he got his education done.
What the hell is kinesiology, by the way?
It's the study of exercise science.
Movements, yeah, and things like that, physical movements. So communications was an emphasis on,
wow,
and apparently what his original master's was going to be in, the program went away at Boise State. And so then he flipped over to kinesiology as well. I can get some stuff here from that. But his entire education at Boise State was with the thought process in mind that he wanted to be a head coach. So he's worked towards this. But these were some of the things that reported out
to me. Making his playbooks as a child.
And I had mentioned a little bit of this on, and he actually did. Apparently in second grade, he would go up on the whiteboard at show and tell and draw plays. He is a, I had mentioned this on Friday, but this is some of the feedback that I got specifically. He's a career quarterback. He's had to lead huddles for years. And that included, he called all of his high school's plays the last 2 years that he was the quarterback. So it wasn't just he's commanding the huddle. He's telling everybody what to do and getting them on board. His dad is a coach. He comes from a coaching family. Like, that's his background.
And part of Jory Epstein's piece last week on Jerry maybe not wanting to lose his white Sean Payton whale again, no pun intended, when asked about how close to the vest Kellen's public persona was, Dak once smiled and said he loved that Moore did not show reporters the chops that endeared him to players. The executive who interviewed Kellen believed while extroversion and strength of presence help check the leader of men box, teams seek, they're not the only route or route to motivation. Quote, presence does not have to be huge. As long as you're able to get a team motivated to play or ready to play in the big games.
So, yeah, basically what I was told is Kellen wouldn't have been able to have success leading huddles in high school, in college, where he was the winningest quarterback in college history, wouldn't have been able to make a six-year career in the NFL hanging around the, right. A quarterback room, coached the position, had success as a coordinator. Those things wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have that kind of statistical success in Dallas and Philly if you didn't have players who were willing to follow his lead. Had resistance, it wouldn't occur. So somebody's saying, look, if you don't believe testament, just look at the results and say that's not likely to have people following them and have that kind of success consistently.
Ideally, would you rather a coach?
I could counter back a Ryan Leaf. I could counter back and say Ryan Leaf led high school and college huddles and he was a complete train wreck. Like, just because you are leading a huddle doesn't mean you have those traits.
I mean, Ryan couldn't even lead his own life. Like, he had his own demons that he was battling.
But Ryan was also a physical specimen. Like, Kellen was not. Kellen has to fight. And that's the point that was brought up, was like, Kellen had to fight for everything. If there was anything where he doesn't get along with offensive players or anything, that would be an issue. It would have set him back pretty quick.
Now, like, you can have motivation or you can have preparation from the head coach, right? Now, ideally, you want both.
Yeah.
Like, that's the goal. You're trying to find that. So, like, now it's like, okay, well, if we don't have both, like, we know that Ben Johnson will be prepared.
Yeah.
We have no idea how he motivates.
Yeah.
Two names came up when I was asking about, all right, well, what about, like, leading a locker and his, personality, things like that. Two different names came up where people said, this person is not a rah-rah individual. This person is not. And I think one of these you're going to push back against because he is very charismatic. But the names that came up, they said, Kevin O'Connell's not a big rah-rah guy on the surface. Tony Dungy was never a big rah-rah guy on the surface. They were both considered strong leaders that people got behind and followed.
Okay.
So they said, in terms of being a leader of men and commanding a locker room, the way that Kellen does it, Kellen's strength is not the Ron Rivera, Dan Campbell, motivate you kind of thing. They say his ability to command a locker room is almost that of an evangelist. So they say that he creates a clear, concise vision of this is how we're going to be successful, and then he's able to make it a compelling and accessible idea to players that then they believe it, and when they believe it, it becomes their own motivation almost. Like, well, this is just my belief in how football is supposed to be played. Kellen has sold me on this idea. Kellen has sold me on this is why we run these routes. This is why we do this. This is why we do that. Again, when you look at strife and tension, Dak was very publicly willing to disagree with Mike McCarthy on option routes and different things like that. A lot of that came from philosophy that Kellen had convinced Dak was this is what we do. Like, he clearly had Dak leading behind him. They said that also assistants would probably be enforcers and disciplinarians of the vision. That you've got a vision and get people to buy in, and you're a teacher and you're an evangelist, and then you have middle management essentially that's making sure everybody's staying on task and doing what they're supposed to do. It was also suggested that Kellen hasn't come close to reaching his potential as a coach because of the environments that he's been forced to work in as a subordinate. So they said everywhere he's been as a coordinator, 2019, it was Jason Garrett's contract year. It was considered a very toxic, unstable environment. 2020 to 2022, they had success here in Dallas, but he and Mike McCarthy did not get along for the entire 3 years that he was here. That's consistently uncomfortable and combative. 2023 season, Chargers had a really bad environment with Brandon Staley in his last year that had checked out. And then when you look at Philadelphia, the Eagles are kind of widely thought of as one of the most combustible locker room potentials that exists in the NFL, that it could go either way.
Oh, that's a pressure cooker.
And so it was like, look, Kellen's had success in really uncomfortable situations his entire career, and you don't get that without being able to get people on the same page in difficult circumstances. And we don't know what it looks like when some of that drama is cut out.
I mean, look, if you paid attention to Boise at all in college, like, it was always pretty well known, like, this guy is, like, on that Chad Pennington. A lot of people compare him to Chad Pennington. Not a great arm, but, like, a super mind. I mean, there's no doubt that he's a smart guy, like, that he's going
to
be.
The Kevin O'Connell comparison is intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy.
I mean, nobody knew anything about him either.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely nothing. By the way, I had heard over the weekend that the Cowboys are in love with Brian Schottenheimer. I don't know whether that means as the head coach or just someone that would have a ton of offensive control moving forward. That's right, Brian Schottenheimer, and that Al Harris was probably gone.
Yeah, and I think that it's when you look at Schottenheimer makes sense to me just from the perspective of, again, if we're talking about culture and that's something that's really important to them, that's where Schottenheimer gets a lot of high marks. He's somebody who's considered a really effective communicator that players really like and feel like he takes a personal investment in them, but also will get in their face a little bit and will demand discipline and get on top of them for that. When we look at the assistant coaches and the idea that they're the ones that are going to do the enforcement here, if Kellen's big push as a leader is more just, think of it again, as somebody said, they said it was almost evangelist, where you've got a pastor maybe who they're not considered there may not be a pastor who's a very strong personality or anything else, but they get people with the way that they communicate the ideas and the different things, and they have a bunch of parishioners who go, I'm going to follow you. It was that sort of thing that was painted to me. In terms of the discipline, if you are talking about Doug Nussmeier comes here, Nussmeier's a disciplinarian, and he's somebody who consistently was thought of as that's the guy who can get in Dak's face and they can have it out and have respect for each other. There's a lot of buzz about Witten. If Jason Witten gets here, that's a disciplinarian kind of guy. We've heard some buzz potentially about Tashard Choice as a running backs coach. Choice, again, disciplinarian, regimented, very optimistic, positive guy. But that's the kind of style that he uses. And if Eberflus ends up here as the defensive coordinator, again, another guy who that was what he was. He was considered kind of a hard ass at times. And so I think the vision here in Dallas for the Joneses would be Kellen will get people to buy into the ideas. He will effectively sell the ideas that they become self-motivated by those. And then any sort of discipline is handled within position groups with the position coaches and the coordinators.
Well done, Bobby Belt, with a weekend research project here on your home of America's team. It's the Monday edition of Sean and RJ. This is going to be the RJ Choppy Power Hour.
Oh,
we're gonna
all
pick,
right.
We're going to pick the national championship, play tonight at 9:20. But RJ gives his recap of all the NFL games this weekend. He says, stop giving Dan Quinn all this credit. Kelsey's not the GOAT. And how much did gamblers actually get screwed? The RJ Choppy Football Power Hour starts right after this.